Welcome to the teachings of Father Al Lauer.
Jesus Christ is Lord. Welcome, brothers and sisters. Say it with me, with all your heart, with joy, with love. Jesus Christ is Lord. Let's start off. We want to bless you. Remember, you've been baptized into Christ Jesus, baptized into His death, baptized into His burial, baptized into His resurrection. Jesus lives in you. You live in Him. You are children of God the Father, temples of the Holy Spirit. My name is Father Al Lauer, and we're in the midst of a series of seminars, the Life in the Spirit seminars, not the traditional ones, but new ones. New ones you can use in addition to the traditional ones, or you can use with the traditional ones. And our first seminar, we did it last time, was Baptismal Promises, Renewal of Our Baptism, and Pentecost. And this one is the Spirit and the Church. Let's pray right now, Father. May we receive your Spirit and realize that the fact that the Holy Spirit came on Pentecost and the Church was born on Pentecost, that these two events were simultaneous, is a tremendous revelation. May we always see the Spirit with the Church with the Spirit, as originally you have decreed. Send your Holy Spirit to us. May we love the Church as your Son Jesus loves the Church, even to die for her. Let's ask Mary to pray now. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. To our second seminar, the Spirit and the Church. The two go together. You can see this at the very end of the Bible. Very last chapter of the Bible, Revelation in chapter 22, verse 17, the last few verses of the Bible. The Spirit and the Bride say, come. Let him who hears answer, come. Let him who is thirsty, I hope that's you, come forward. Let all who desire it accept the gift of life-giving water. We're talking about the Holy Spirit. The Spirit is crying out, come, and the bride. Who's the bride? Who's the bride of Christ? The Church. Ephesians 5, verse 25. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the Church. He laid down His life for her. He is going to present Him to Himself, this Church, holy, immaculate, spotless, without stain or wrinkle or anything of that sort. The bride is the Church. So the Church and the Holy Spirit go together. And as we said right in the very beginning of this broadcast, at Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came, the Church was born. The two go together. This is so important. And I think for a very, very practical, basic reason, which we will get to in just a moment. But the Bible tells us, experience tells us, the Church tells us, history tells us, you need the Holy Spirit. In Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6, not by might, not by power, not by any human effort, but by the Holy Spirit, by the Holy Spirit, we will be able to bring renewal. We will be able to work for God. We will be able to live a new life by the Spirit. Nothing that we can do will do it. Jesus brought this up quite clearly in Acts of the Apostles in chapter 1. Jesus said to His apostles, you just wait right here in Jerusalem until you are baptized in the Spirit within a few days, because if you go out and try to do this without the Holy Spirit, this is not going to work out at all. You're going to end up trying to warp Christianity to make it fit into your failures and limitations. How many people have been doing that lately? Brothers and sisters, you see how this works? We just have to have the Holy Spirit. John 3, flesh begets flesh, spirit begets spirit. If you're going to get the results that are truly from the Holy Spirit, you have to have the Spirit doing it. Otherwise, you're going to do your own thing. You're going to get your own thing type results, which aren't that good. We've got to have the Holy Spirit, or just forget the whole thing. Like life in Christ, like victory, like purity, freedom. Just forget the whole thing. Without life in Christ, it just will not work. without the Holy Spirit, life in Christ will not work. Now, obviously, a lot of people don't believe that. If people believe that, everybody would be doing everything they possibly could to grow in the Spirit, to move in the Spirit, to let the Spirit lead them. Every church you would go to, it would just be Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit. Now, obviously, most people and churches even have kind of put the Holy Spirit kind of on the back burner. They say, well, you know, the Holy Spirit, not everybody kind of agrees on some of that, and sometimes there's division, and there's a lot of other things in the Christian life. I don't see why we have to be stressing the Holy Spirit all the time. And well, brothers and sisters, with that kind of attitude, we're not going to receive the Holy Spirit. Because to receive the Holy Spirit, we have to thirst. Does that mean thirst for the Holy Spirit? Well, it doesn't quite say that in John 7:37. It just says thirst. Probably it means thirst for the Lord. And I think that would include the Holy Spirit. Thirst for life in Christ. Thirst for people to come to Christ. Thirst. But brothers and sisters, there's got to be this desire. You'll receive the Holy Spirit if you want to receive the Holy Spirit. But the problem is, we really don't want to. Galatians 5 and 17, the flesh lusts against the Spirit against the flesh. The two are directly opposed. And so we have this, a lack of interest. If you ask a person, would you want to receive the Holy Spirit? They go, well, I don't know. I guess it might not be too bad. Gosh, what kind of answer is that? You say, Holy Spirit, that's what it's all about. I want to have the Holy Spirit. I want a new Pentecost on the hour. I want Pentecost all day, every day, over and over again. I want to move into the fullness of the Holy Spirit. That's what a person should say, but obviously you don't see people acting like that. And I think a lot of people have hesitations, reservations, confusions. They just say, Holy Spirit, well, you know, when I think of Holy Spirit, I think this one person, and geez, she's kind of off the wall. I don't want to get in on that. I don't know if that's the Holy Spirit or what that is, but I'm confused about the whole thing. Holy Spirit, you know, it must not be that important because they don't talk about it that much at church. If it was that important, I think somebody would bring it up. I've lived this long. I'm not too bad off. I guess I don't see if you need the Holy Spirit that much. A lot of people I know, they don't ever talk about the Holy Spirit, and they seem to be doing okay. So we don't really, most people just aren't zealous for the Holy Spirit. They just really don't have this desire for the Spirit. So when Jesus breathes over us, as he did on that first resurrection evening, and says, receive the Holy Spirit, we just go, I don't know, okay, I guess. Well, that's not how it's going to work. That's why this helps us understand 1 Corinthians 14:1. 1 Corinthians 14:1 talks about one of the great things the Holy Spirit can do for you, give you gifts, charisms, gifts of the Holy Spirit. And the exact translation is, be zealous for the spiritual things. And the context is gifts of the Spirit. Be zealous. Be on fire. Want these gifts so much. I just hope you're just sitting there saying, I don't get fear of the Lord much more deeply than I have right now. I just don't know if I'm going to go on. Do you understand? Will you have that zeal? That zeal for the charisms, for the spiritual things. Now, I think some of your reservations, some of your hesitations aren't all bad. You might say, well, I don't want to just go whole hog, go the whole route. I don't want to just go crazy on something unless I'm just 100% sure that this is right. Well, that's okay. I think we should be 100% sure. How do you get 100% sure? How do you get 100% sure about the Holy Spirit? You get it through the church. Remember, the Holy Spirit and church go together? The church will tell you what the truth is to make sure you're not misunderstanding something from the Bible. Because you look at the Bible and you say that stuff you read about the Holy Spirit in the Bible, about you can't make it without the Holy Spirit, you can't do it by your own power, you can't do it by your own might, you can't do it by human flesh and human activities and human attempts. How do I know you're interpreting that right? Obviously, a lot of people have read those before and they didn't take it that way. How do I know that you've got the right idea here? And say, well, it's common sense. Anybody ought to know. And say, well, I don't know. That's what they all say. How do we know if that's right? The church. The church, according to 1 Timothy in chapter 3, verse 15, is the pillar and the bulwark of truth. And we need the church. And I don't just mean this guy over here who happens to be a priest or these people over here who say this is what we're talking about in our church. I mean the official teachings of the church. So we know, we absolutely know for sure we should just go wild about the Holy Spirit. Okay, what is the church officially saying? So that we should know if we should be zealous, if that's really the right idea. What's the church saying? Well, I'm just going to talk about, we could give you 1,000 references going back 2,000 years, but let's just talk about more recent times. This is the official teaching of the church. Vatican II, before Vatican II, Pope John the 23rd had every Catholic in the world praying for a new Pentecost. Does that tell you something? Vatican II gave some great teachings on the Spirit, but especially on the church. I'm going to read a quote from Pope Paul VI. And this is quoted by Pope John Paul II in his encyclical letter on the Holy Spirit, entitled in English, The Holy Spirit in the Life of the Church and the World. And I can't imagine why this quote hasn't been just given to everybody who ever thought of being a Catholic or ever lived the Catholic faith. This tells us so much. This was what Pope Paul VI said shortly after the Council, Vatican II. And Pope John Paul II said, hey, this is such a great thing, I'm going to quote it. And he quoted it, and then I haven't hardly heard much about it since that time. Now listen to this. Pope Paul VI, quoted by Pope John Paul II in the encyclical letter on the Holy Spirit by Pope John Paul II, entitled, The Holy Spirit in the Life of the Church and the World. The Christology, meaning the study of Christ, and particularly the ecclesiology of the council, meaning the study of the church, must be succeeded. Now, we've been given some great understandings about Christ, Christology, about the church, ecclesiology, but we need more than that. Must be succeeded. Something's got to come after that. Must be succeeded by a new study of and devotion to the Holy Spirit. Brothers and sisters, not just studies of the past, but a new study of, a new knowledge of, a new learning about the Holy Spirit. We've got to have that following what the council has given us, or we got problems. The Christology and the ecclesiology of the council must be succeeded by a new study of, and more than that, devotion to the Holy Spirit. We've got to know more about the Holy Spirit and love the Holy Spirit more, be more involved in life in the Spirit. That is the necessary succession of the work of the council. And then it says, I'll read the whole thing, Christology and particularly the ecclesiology of the council must be succeeded by a new study of and devotion to the Holy Spirit. Now listen to this, precisely as the indispensable complement to the teaching of the council. We've got to have this. It's indispensable. It's an indispensable complement to the teaching of the council. And what are we talking about? A new study of and new devotion to the Holy Spirit. That's an indispensable complement. If you don't have something that's indispensable, you haven't just got a little something you're missing out on. The whole thing's messed up. And the application of the council certainly has left a lot to be desired. It seems like we all agree on that, even people from totally different viewpoints. The application of the council leaves something to be desired. Not necessarily the council, but the application. And Pope Paul VI and Pope John Paul II said, without a new study of and devotion to the Holy Spirit, we would certainly have that problem. We would lack an indispensable complement to the teaching of the council, the ecclesiology of the council, the Christology of the council, and we would have pretty severe problems with that. Well, if this is so true, that we've got to get a new study of and devotion to the Holy Spirit, well then, the people who said this, Pope Paul VI and Pope John Paul II, shouldn't they be teaching about the Holy Spirit all the time if that's what they really believe? Yes, and have they? Yes. I'll just give you a few references. For example, Pope Paul VI, his document on evangelization, section 75. Astounding. The emphasis on the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the main evangelizer. Without the Holy Spirit, we can't do anything. That's what he's saying. It's so strong. You check it out. Number 75, the document on evangelization, Pope Paul VI. Then, of course, Pope John Paul II, his encyclical on the Holy Spirit, is saying, we got to have a new study of a new devotion, to the Holy Spirit. Now, here's a great, great teaching on the Holy Spirit. And it wasn't just there. Now, he brought this up many other places. For example, the Pope's document called I Will Give You Pastor, Section 1. He's talking about the vocation crisis, especially in relationship to priests. And he says, what we need, now I quote, Section 1, I Will Give You Pastors, Pope John Paul II, what we need is a total act of faith in the Holy Spirit. Total act of faith. Total act of faith in the Holy Spirit. Pope John Paul II, his document called Lay Members of Christ's Faithful People, the greatest teaching on the lay vocation in the history of the church. Section 24, he talks about gifts of the Spirit, charisms. And he says, the charisms are received in gratitude, both on the part of the one who receives them and also on the part of the entire church. They are, in fact, a singularly rich source of grace. God gives us grace. Where does this come from? From Him. But He has different, I guess you'd say, sources of grace. And He has some rich sources of grace, and He has a few very rich sources of grace, rich in certain ways that are totally unique. Singularly, not plural, singularly rich sources of grace. And you know what one of those singularly rich sources of grace is? The charisms. Now you might say, well, the sacraments are a singularly rich source of grace. In some ways, the source of grace for something will come from the sacraments and it won't come from anything else. It's singular. But in other things, there's the grace to do this or to be that or to whatever will come from charisms, gifts of the Holy Spirit. And you can't get it from anything else. You can't get it from sacraments. You can't get it from anything else. It's a singularly rich source of grace. For the vitality of the apostolate and for the holiness of the whole body of Christ. Another teaching from Pope John Paul II. This is from the Splendor of Truth. Real strong teaching on charisms. He says, it is in fact He, the Holy Spirit, who raises up prophets in the church, instructs teachers, guides tongues. Do we believe in tongues? Is the Pope Catholic? Works wonders and healings, accomplishes miracles, grants the discernment of spirits, assigns governance, inspires councils, distributes and harmonizes every other charismatic gift. You say, I don't believe in using all that charismatic jargon. Tell the Pope, he's the one, I'm quoting him. Harmonizes every other charismatic gift. In this way, he completes and perfects the Lord's church everywhere and in all things. I think it's quite clear. I think we have very many official statements that the Holy Spirit is absolutely necessary and not in a very, very minimal, stifled way, but in fullness. I think we've got the council and the popes and John the 23rd and Paul the 6th and John Paul the 2nd. And these are not just offhand comments. These are encyclicals, apostolic exhortations. These are teachings from the official leaders of the church that are authoritative, that are official, that are high levels of authoritative teaching. And so I think you can just go for it. Just go for it. Just with abandon, go for these gifts of the Holy Spirit. go for everything the Holy Spirit has to offer. The works of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, promptings of the Spirit, graces of the Spirit, blessings of the Spirit, whatever you want to call them. Just really go for the whole thing. Now, I'm glad you took your time. I'm glad you didn't jump into something until you knew for sure. But now you know for sure. So go for it. Just with abandon. Go for it. Now, how do you be zealous for the gifts of the Spirit? Well, if you're really zealous, I would think you would have to learn. You can see that from what Pope Paul VI said and Pope John Paul II said. We need a new study of the Holy Spirit. If you're not even trying to learn, come on, you're not zealous. In addition to that, I think you have to pray. If you say, I'm very zealous, I'm so zealous to lead these people to Christ. You say, are you praying for them? Say, no. Well, you're not zealous. Come on. I'm so zealous to make disciples of my family. I'm going to lead my family to Jesus. Great. Are you praying with them for them? Say, no. Well, you're not zealous. Come on. You've got to be learning. You've got to be praying if you're zealous. And then more than that, you got to be using any gifts. Anything God gives you, anything the Spirit gives you. If you say, I'm really zealous for prophecy, are you looking for opportunities to prophesy? If God opens the door, are you going in that and doing something? Come on. Zeal, just from simple common sense, entails learning, praying, and doing or using the gifts. And so, let's go for it. Let's just really get into the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is in us, because we are temples of the Spirit. I wanted to take this time to bring up some of the resources that go along with this seminar. Now, you can use them or not use them, whatever, but I'm just looking for some spot in the seminars to bring these up. It wouldn't really make any difference exactly where you brought them up, I don't think. As you're looking at these videos, you can get these videos. I wouldn't encourage you to just show these to people unless God kind of inspired you to. But people who would do the seminars, let them look at them. Let the team leaders look at them. And then when they look at them, they can take the material and adapt it and pray about it and then use it. But there's also audio tapes, same words, just without the picture. And then we have two prayer books relating to the Holy Spirit. One is called Praying for a New Pentecost. Lots of prayers relating to the Holy Spirit, most of them right from the Bible. And then another one is called Life-Changing Prayers from the Bible. Now, if you do this seminar, these seminars over 5 weeks, what I would do is kind of give one of these books. I would pick Praying for a New Pentecost first, but if you want to supplement that, Life-Changing Prayers from the Bible, get both of these books and just tell the people, why don't you pray a couple pages from these books every week. You know, just pick a couple prayers each day and a couple more. Now, you know, the Life and Spirit seminars traditionally have this little guidebook if we read a scripture every day. Well, you can do that if you want, but this is another way of approaching it. So look at the two books, Praying for a New Pentecost and Life-Changing Prayers from the Bible, and just see how you would adapt that. Now, in the traditional Life and Spirit seminars, you usually read two chapters of the Bible every week. I would encourage you, if you want to do the five-week seminars, to ask the participants to read one chapter of Acts of the Apostles each day. You know, 5 times 7, but if you don't count the last few, because that week will be after the final seminar, you know, you got something like 28, 29 or something days. Well, that's 28 chapters in Acts of the Apostles. So you read a chapter of Acts every day. And so the seminars would really go about a month when you get right down to it. And we have a little book called Simple Reading Guide to Luke and Acts. And you could get that book and they could read just a little paragraph or two introduction to each chapter. And then they read their chapter. And just do this each day for 28 days or something like that for the 5 weeks. And then another book would be Seek the Gifts of the Spirit. This gives you 30 gifts of the Spirit that are treated to some degree in the Bible. And this could be a whole new seminar or series of seminars, like maybe you could do 5, 6, 7, depending on how you divide the book, following the Life and the Spirit seminars, or you can integrate some of that material if you have time in the Life and the Spirit seminars. So it can give you a richer presentation of the Life and the Spirit seminars, or it can give you a whole new set of seminars. Okay, well, let's pray right now. Lord, we just pray that we would help people give their lives to you and receive the Holy Spirit in fullness. Come, Holy Spirit, show us how to do this. Show us how to teach. Show us how to use the resources you've given us. Lord, may we be good stewards and people who love you and your people in the Holy Spirit. Amen.
You have been listening to Father Al Lauer. Visit our website, presentationministries.com.
My soul with all your